Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to Red Sky Radio and the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. I am always full of energy. I am at not quite full capacity. I don't go camping. It's just sort of something I don't do, but I did. And I know it's supposed to be relaxing and getting away, well, and everything. Well, it kind of is, hotter and blazes here in Arizona. In fact, I saw it was 95 degrees. It's up at 6,100 feet. 6,100 feet. It was 95 degrees. Yikes. Anyway, you know, everything just takes more effort. I mean, it takes more effort to shower when you're out camping. It takes more effort to prepare the food. Everything just takes more effort. And I've returned totally exhausted, and I'm utterly counting on the normal inherent intensity that I have dealing with political topics to carry me through. So let's roll, okay? Start with good news. I'm going to end with some good news, some of which you already know about, but I'm going to put in my 2 cents worth on that. Starting out of the state of Montana. Now, we've got some good states out west. None of them are on the coast, sadly, but you can forget Washington, Oregon, and California. But anyway, in Montana, they passed a law, signed into law by the governor there, that's going to free homeschoolers from all sorts of regulations. Now, I'm not going to say everybody should homeschool. There are different schooling alternatives, none of which include public schools, none of which include a government education. All right, you get what you pay for, even though whether you're paying a lot through a property taxes or nothing, let's say you're renting or something. You know how I feel about government schools. It's educational malpractice, educational neglect, child abuse. There's about 3 or 4 other felonies that probably could be tacked on to the whole process of a government education. But not in Montana. And my children growing up, they were in public school a little bit of the time. They were homeschooled a significant portion of the time and in a Christian school a significant portion of the time. And different schools work differently or better for different children. Like I said, none of the options include, however, government schooling. But in Montana, there are people who are moving, and I get this. I totally get it. That will move and configure their life around what location offers the best educational alternatives for their children. Now, I can tell you, as of a couple of years ago, Arizona, out of which we are based, actually has the, now, without question, the best voucher system in the United States. You just have to be ready for 95 degrees at 6,100 feet. Well, no, that's not every day. It's an unusual June. But it's the best voucher system. And people say, Kevin, why are you spending government money on kids who don't need the money and parents who don't need the money? Wait a second. We're exercising a voucher to do what? To use our money. See, this is a problem with governments. They think it's their money. They take it, and as soon as they take it, it's their money. And lo and behold, gosh, you should never, ever consider that you would have any right to exercise any use or control over the money that you surrendered to the government. Well, Montana, go get them, you guys. Next, and that's kind of the end of the good news. So here we are. my friends in California, I've been there much lately, back doing work there. California taxpayers, meaning the government here, on behalf of the taxpayers, has given just under $74 million to anti-deportation groups, including anti-deportation protesters. Writing for the Center Square here, Kenneth Schrupp, I'm not sure how I'm pronouncing that. It says, government transparency group Open the Books has reported that the state of California provided anti-deportation groups with $73.6 million in 2023 and 2024, including the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, which received alone $35 million. So understand, if you live in California, that your state, $74 million to fund the defense of illegals. Now, the way I see this is the other states should ramp up the restrictions and the tax on the illegals, and then that way they just go to California. If they want to take care of them and spend all kinds of money on defending illegals, then have at it, I guess. He goes on to say here, he says, quoting Kate Sanchez, I'm formally requesting the legislature to undergo an audit by which LA's riots are being bankrolled by taxpayer-subsidized nonprofits. So says Kate Sanchez, a Republican from Turbuco Canyon. There is zero excuse for our tax dollars to go towards riots. Well, if you look up the website here for CHRLA, that is the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. Look up their website. It says, reports that they have a program called Wake Up, which it says teaches high schoolers, these are taxpayer dollars, teaching high schoolers how to become activists. The program seeks to organize high school students, both undocumented and allies, around immigrant rights and full access to educational opportunities to activate students by engaging them civically to fight in the legislative arena and the public square for measures that ease their access to education and citizenship. Well, that's California stupid, and if that's what you want to do, I guess you can. However, I don't want this program to slip away without quoting the Babylon Bee, better known just as the Bee. They had one the other day, and I'm kind of paraphrasing a little bit, so it's not an exact quote, but it says, Newsom considers that he has a sworn duty to defend and protect the illegal immigrants that voted him into office. Boy, the bees got a way of saying it. So let's just jump across the continent from California to Florida. We'll just do a little bit of a side-by-side here. And let's hear what Ron DeSantis has to say about these kinds of issues. So quoting from Bob Unruh here, he said, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has offered some stunning advice to residents of his state should California's pro-illegal alien riots take over the streets there. You gotta love Florida for this. He says, and I quote, you don't have to sit there and be a sitting duck. He said, we also have a policy that if you're driving on one of these streets and a mob comes and surrounds your vehicle and threatens you, you have a right to flee for your safety. I'll stop the quote here, of course. The point here being is, you're surrounded and you can't flee, but you have a right to flee. He said, and so if you drive off and hit one of these people, that's their fault for impinging on you. You don't have to sit there and be a sitting duck and let the mob grab you out of your car and drag you through the streets. You have a right to defend yourself in Florida. So in other words, if you're driving down the street and you get caught in one of these LA riot type things that transported itself to Florida, I guess you can just run them over. If the alternative is you can't get out of there and they're trying to break in your car to do serious bodily harm to you, you have to assume that one person, two people in a car driving through a mob of who knows how many. The act, the right of self-defense takes on a different perspective and a different proportion when what you're defending yourself against is a double-digit number of people. Not just one-on-one, but a double-digit. I mean, this is what DeSantis is saying. So would you end up, getting arrested? Well, not in, gosh, I forgot the county where the sheriff was given a presser on what they plan to do if these riots come. And he said, if you threaten one of our officers, you're going to be just cold dead when that episode is over. I mean, he was a beefcake of a sheriff. Gosh, a guy probably weighed, I don't know, three. He's big and probably and heavy. He's just big everywhere. So basically, you mess around with us, you're dead. So it's up to you. That's Florida. That's not California. California says, these rioters, these protesters, one's looting stores. Let's make sure it's hot out. Let's make sure they have water. We don't want them to dehydrate. Of course not. All right. You may have heard this before, but I need to, like I said, I've been gone. I'm kind of picking up some things that I want to share. Maybe you've read it, but it's a satanic temple. And this goes back last week. But that opened up an abortion clinic in Maine on Trump's birthday, the day of the parade, the Army parade. So they show this picture of what's it? I can never quite pronounce this idol's name, Baphomet, I think. Baphomet, I'm not really sure. Anyway, he's an ugly thing from the dark side. I don't want to look at him too long here. But isn't that interesting that the left, the Satanists in this case, deliberately open up a clinic to kill innocent unborn children in Maine on Trump's birthday? And I think New Mexico is looking at doing the same thing. But New Mexico is a weird state. Anyway. So let's just put this together now. So the Satanists love abortion. And why not? Right? Well, the enemy came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's Satan. So the Satanists would do the same thing. They love death. It's a death cult. And the Democrats love abortion. They're just the political wing of the death cult. So if both the Satanists and the Democrats love abortion so much, does that mean Satanists are Democrats? And Democrats are Satanists? Well, I can guarantee you all Satanists vote Democrat. It's in the name, right? I mean, here my logic is that something from a long, long time ago in school. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Got it? So, Satanists are definitely Democrats, and there's a lot of Democrats who are probably Satanists. Okay, this story concerns me, but doesn't surprise me. Who is the leading presidential Democrat candidate in the polls right now? All of those of you who think it's Hillary Clinton, raise your hand. I don't see any hands. Oh, yeah, it's Hillary. That's the only one that I see. And I'm still saying and I've been saying I was wrong for 2024 because I said up and down all along it would end up being Gavin Newsom, and I was wrong. It wasn't. I'm just shifting him to 2028, and depending on who's on the other side, he's got a good chance of winning. But he's not number one in the polls because of California riots, all of his stupidity, the non-responsiveness, unpreparedness with respect to the L.A. fires, the L.A. riots, which I might add, so Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass want the National Guard out. They want to take over the National Guard. They want Trump out of California. So what does Karen Bass do the other day? She's now asking for federal aid to help fight the riots when basically she evicted Trump or desired to evict Trump. The court sided with Newsom, and then an appeals court reversed it and said, no, National Guard is under Trump's control under the circumstances. But that was then pending further review. But isn't that something? They want him gone, kick him out, get him out of here. He has no business meddling in L.A.'s affairs. Oh, but by the way, you know what? We oh, my gosh, we'd like some money. We need some money. Money, money, money. Well, I don't know how that's going to turn out, but it's just the hypocrisy of California's politicians just amaze me. But back to our question, which went launched into this portion of the program, was who is the number one choice? At this point in the polls for the Democrat candidate, and I don't use the term Democrat loosely, it's Pete Buttigieg, right? Pete Buttigieg, the queer guy from South Bend, who sadly moved to one of my favorite cities, Traverse City, Michigan. What? I don't know if he thought that living there could somehow get him the state of Michigan, and it might. The state screwed up. 30%. You know, I have never wavered from something that I think I first said 15 years ago at least, that if you called me a Democrat, I will sue you for defamation. I consider that a slander of my character to suppose that I would be politically, philosophically, morally, or religiously aligned with and associated with the dark side. Yep. Well, Don Fetter, who is a great writer, and he has stated here the other day that Free Palestine has become the new Heil Hitler. And he writes here, and I'm going to just quote briefly from him. He said, Germany didn't go directly from Adolf Hitler's rise to power in 1933 to the Holocaust. Like the jihad against Jews in America today, it was done in stages. A milestone in the death march was Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass, on November 9th and 10th of 1938. And in an orgy of violence, the Nazis torched synagogues and looted Jewish homes and businesses. Nearly 100 Jews were killed, and 30,000 were arrested and sent to concentration camps. But it's happening again, but here in America. The nation that defeated the Third Reich, imagine that. First has come the violent demonstrations on campus, college campuses. Then individual Jews being targeted. And I'm going to stop here a second. I could go through a long list of all the Jews being killed here in the United States, and utterly, completely innocent, all by a malignancy called radical Islam, or just Islam. Forget the radical crapola. But what is amazing is this statistic here. Anti-Semitic attacks anti-Semitic attacks account for all for 68% of all religion-based hate crimes. So, but let's just take two, Muslims and Christians. Let's put those two together. Attacks against Muslims and Christians constitute 32% of hate crime activity. 68% of it is lodged against Jews. And to make this even more amazing, the number of Jews in the United States, I think, still exceeds the number of Muslims, but not by much. Muslims are a virtual breeding ground, and Jews typically are not. Sadly, a lot of Jews are some of your biggest pro-abortion activists, and they don't have a lot of children. I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but I don't see any Jewish families with four, five, or six kids. They did once upon a time. And you know when that was? It was when they were in Egypt. That's when the population mushroomed. But 32%. So the Muslims are 32% being the total of all other religious hate crimes, which now you'd throw in Buddhists and the Sikhs and besides Muslim and Christians. And that is a pretty amazing number. So the assassins, though, of the Jews, with one exception, the guy who is Hispanic, but he is a, there's been a couple of Hispanic, well, they're Hispanic last names anyway, but by and large, they're Muslims. And they are now from afar encouraging Muslims in the United States to turn assassins. So, and I can't say that I necessarily am surprised, but I don't know that I've fully understand why there would be some anti-Semitic veins running through the Hispanic community. I don't know. But there is. Enough so that a couple of the shooters, some of the killers, have at least Hispanic surnames. So I guess the question I have is, how many illegals, this would be an interesting study, how many of the illegals that Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden let into this country, how many of them support Israel? I mean, I just don't see strong Jewish supporters being the ones that are that were racing across our border into this country. Probably a lot of them are neutral, but the scale would be tipped to those who are against because they hang around in groups and associate with groups that are more distinctly Jew haters. So not every person that crossed is a Jew hater. But I don't think that there's any Jewish lovers that snuck into this country. Nope. Not a zero. And speaking of anti-Semitism and speaking of Democrats, this is just amazing that there is a resolution condemning anti-Semitism in Congress. And the question is, where did that break down from Republican and Democrat? Well, the resolution was proposed by Republicans. I get that. That fits. Which is kind of interesting from the standpoint that if you go back 50 years, virtually all Jews voted Democrat. And Democrats moved among the Jewish community with great ease and efficacy, raising gazillions of dollars for their campaigns. But it's become the party of Jew haters. Every single Jew hater in Congress now is a Democrat. So when this resolution came up for a vote to just condemn anti-Semitism, 113 Democrats rejected the resolution. That's over half. It's over half the Democrats in Congress rejected a simple resolution condemning anti-Semitism. Adam Pack from the Daily Caller writes just this little piece. He said, House Democrats just sided with terrorists over cops and couldn't even bring themselves to condemn anti-Semitism. They are officially the anti-Semite and anti-cop caucus. And you know what? Nothing that... Well, you know, I'm trying to think. Why has it gotten worse since the election? I will give you 5 seconds to come up with the answer. 5, 4, 3, you don't need 5 seconds. The reason is because Trump is pro-Israel. It's really somewhat simple in the sense that because Trump is the most pro-Israel, pro-Jewish president since maybe Harry Truman from the late 40s, because he participated in the establishment of the Jewish homeland. He's the most pro-Israel president, and it isn't even close. Whether it's the Abraham Accords, whether it's recognizing Jerusalem, as, I mean, moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, I mean, all the things that he has done, I sort of don't like him trying to hog tie here Netanyahu. That's a whole other thing, which we don't have time to get into today. And I'm not sure that I have enough information to speak to it. It's conjecture as to what's going on. And Trump coming out yesterday and saying that he's going to make a decision whether to toast Iran in 2 weeks. Well, he's had a lot of these things, and I'm digressing, but I'm going to get back to this in a minute here about the Democrats loving Jew haters. But he, you know, he's on his third. He's put off the TikTok thing his third time now. He keeps putting things off, and I know why, because he thinks that he can work, quote, a deal. End quote. A deal. He's a real estate guy. Everything comes down to a deal. I get it. Hey, before I went to law school, I sold used cars. Everything was a deal. And I am a fairly good negotiator, but everything I learned about negotiations, I learned selling used cars. Anyway, he keeps putting these things off. And he said, I mean, what was it, just a few days ago, he said everybody needs to immediately evacuate from Tehran. Well, what happens? Within 2 hours, apparently he's told Netanyahu to not do anything, not to kill the Ayatollah, which I think he should. Get rid of the guy. I like to go back to Prophet Samuel, the bad guy, Agag. When Saul wouldn't kill him, it says, Samuel hacked Agag to pieces. That's how you got rid of Agag and his influence. Hack him to pieces. But I don't know what pressure he put on Netanyahu, and Israel's has paid some price for not taking out the Ayatollah and inflicting regime change. But Trump is pushing this off again and again. He keeps seemingly wanting to not have any kind of war, but to strike a deal. I hope it's not an ego thing where he kind of wants to be the hero of putting a deal together. I hope not. Because at some point, Netanyahu is just going to have to say, hey, I love you, but now we're going to have to roast and toast the Ayatollah. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow your Mustang down. Oh, Lord. What I said now. Mustang Sally now, baby. Oh, Lord.
All right, Wilson Pickett. Yeah, singing about that. He's singing about Sally. I love that name, Sally, but I also love 1965 Mustangs. And I wish I could afford one of those 65 Mustang convertibles. I would drive it around, maybe even slick my hair back. I don't know. Love that car. But going back to the piece here, and you're probably saying, what piece? Because I digressed about three times, that 113 Democrats in Congress rejecting a resolution condemning anti-Semitism being the majority in Congress means that they are, in fact, now the Jew haters, the Jew-hating party. I mean, I think that ought to be the name of this program. Democrats change name to Jew haters. Because it would, I mean, it's the majority of them. Well, down in Texas, there was a pro-Israel event a couple weeks ago, actually, or about a week and a half ago, and I meant to talk on it last week, but it's still relevant. It was a pro-Israel event that was canceled over jihadist threats. And it's a shame. It was the Israel Summit, a massive pro-Israel event in Dallas, was canceled after the planners received numerous jihadist threats. Well, that's a shame because it worked. It worked, and if it worked once for the jihadists, the Muslims, why will they not expand on that tactic? We're going to kill you, we're going to blow you up, we'll set the place on fire. Well, whatever the threats are, they've got to be what I just said, because otherwise those are the only kinds of threats that would cause somebody to cancel. They won. They won through sheer intimidation, which will only embolden them in their efforts to shut down future pro-Israel events. You see, we are not very far from a demographic shift in this country where Muslims will outnumber Jews. And you know what? It will never, ever go back the other way. There aren't Jews racing across the southern border, or that were, but a lot of Muslims were, and still trying to get in. And like I said, those who have three or four wives, man, you could father a village. And all it takes is a village, right, to blow up a big city. And with drone attack, what have you. It's just, we're at a precipice here because we haven't controlled our borders. I love the fact that Trump is looking at shutting down yet more air travel between the U.S. and certain countries. Almost all of the countries are heavily Islamic. Well, this is a shame that the cancellation of that event. So just, I'm just wondering, we got probably, no doubt, Ilhan Omar's daughter, who basically just comes out and condones and calls for the death of Jews. She does. Where is somebody calling for the death of Ilhan Omar and her daughter? Why do they get away with that? But the flip side, you can't get away with. Like this next guy. This blows me away. This is a Coast Guard a retired Coast Guard sharpshooter who's very, without question at all, has threatened to kill Trump. And he's released from prison. So I just want to quote this piece from the Gateway Pundit here briefly. It said that the former Coast Guard lieutenant and Antifa sharpshooter arrested and charged for threatening to kill President Trump has been released from prison and ordered to home detention. What is this? Okay, Johnny, got to go to your room. Time out. You're grounded. Well, literally is grounded. Home detention. But why would somebody as intent on killing Trump as this guy dink around with home detention? According to the affidavit, a man by the name of Pete Stinson posted the threats against Trump using various code names for Trump, including The Orange, Orange MF, and I don't have to tell you what MF stands for, Orange Thug, Krasnov, I'm not really sure what that refers to, TFG, I'm not sure what that is, except for one letter, One Ear, and then sometimes just an orange emoji. He also said, sometimes you just need a case of posted just a couple months ago, that Trump needs to be Luigi'd. All right, you know, Luigi, the guy that, Mangione, the guy that killed the CEO of United Healthcare. He needs to be Luigi'd. In other words, he needs to be shot in cold blood. Another post here, would someone just please take care of it? Please? After the hearing, the federal magistrate, Judge Ivan Davis, released Stinson to home detention. Now, this is what blows me away, is that he said, because he does not pose a risk to the community. Now, wait a second. Because the guy wants to kill Trump, and he's said it in various ways many times, because he wants to kill Trump, but he's not a mass murderer or a bomb expert or somebody who wants to cause mass casualties, he can be released to home detention because he's only a threat to President Trump, only a threat to our president, but he's not a threat to the community? Well, Ivan Davis here, this guy needs a brain transplant. Stinson, does it make me a bad person to want to kill the blank, blank, blank dead? Would I be a bad person if I pulled the trigger? Could we start a GoFundMe page for a hitman? My gosh. Imagine saying this about Biden or Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, and this guy gets home detention because he's not a threat to the, of course he's not a threat to the community. He hasn't said anything that puts the community at risk. But this man intent on killing President Trump is at risk. So this judge, a magistrate, federal magistrate, apparently feels that wanting to kill the President of the United States and saying it over and over again, the commander-in-chief, the ruler of the free world, wanting to kill the guy is not enough reason to keep him locked up because the killer, the proposed killer here, is not a threat to the community. No, we're going to let him go because he doesn't want to try to kill his neighbors or the guy across the street, or he doesn't want to blow up the nearest Dollar General store. He only wants to kill the President of the United States. He just isn't enough of a threat to keep him locked up. Democrat judge. That's what you get. My gosh. It's just really, it just amazes me that there is such a void of common sense among so many judges. And are these Republican judges? I can tell you they are not. Now, not all Republican judges are good, but they are not bereft of a brain. Well, okay, next. Now, this is some good news. I'm going to spend some time on this one because it is critical, but it is the decision that the Supreme Court made to uphold the Tennessee ban on what the left calls gender-affirming care, but anybody with a brain calls gender mutilation and hormone therapy. You know, have you ever thought that if a person, first of all trannies are queers. We know that. Not all queers are trannies, but all trannies are queers. They feel badly trying to deal with their same-sex attraction. And instead of seeking deliverance, true help from whatever source, but particularly faith source, and there are faith-based ministries out there, they conclude that they must in reality be the opposite sex so that they then can legitimize their homosexual attraction because now the same sex is the opposite sex. So the guy tranny who thinks he's a girl, now, well, I'm a girl, so I can be attracted to the guys. This is normal. This is what they call the gender dysphoria, which is exploding with the pushing of tranny rights. It's exploding with teaching this garbage from the pit of hell in schools. So the Supreme Court upholds the Tennessee ban. And I'm just calling for what is gender mutilation and child abuse for dealing with minors. The Democrats, the Democrats, have gone berserk on this issue. So, you know, let's go back to the previous story here today, going back to Satanists loving abortions. The Democrats love abortion. A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C. All right, we're kind of back to this. I cannot tell you that I have ever, ever read of a Republican supporting gender mutilation. Now, number one, they would not get elected on that platform. And somewhat amazingly, the Dems apparently still haven't figured out why they lost in November with probably the greatest political ad of the whole campaign season. They got a bunch of girls, real girls, probably 5'8 to 5'10 or 11, standing around a guy who's got a slight beard, is about 285 and 6'6", claiming he's a chick. Man. You know, do the Democrats even have a clue as to why they're losing voter support? I mean, the party asked me, so, well, why are so many Hispanic men and black men voting Republican? Because, voting for Trump anyway. Well, because Trump's kind of a macho guy. He's not fiddling around with this whole tranny crapola. He's rough, he's tough, and the men in those two communities, a majority of them respect that and like that because they haven't had that in Mr. Milquetoast Baracky Obama and Mr. No Brains Corn Pop Joe Biden. They also didn't have it in Republicans, from Mitt Romney to John McCain. Trump has broken a mold, and it has drawn people from those, particularly the men, not so much from the women, but the men said, you know what? Doggone it, it's time for a real guy. Could we have a real guy in charge? Well, he's really against his gender mutilation stuff and the hormone infusion in minors. goodness sake, this is child abuse at its worst. So if Baphomet, the old satanic idol, loves abortion, guess what? The Satanists love tranny. It's called gender-affirming care. Well, it's gender-destroying destruction. It's gender-destroying abuse. It isn't care any more than killing innocent unborn children is health care. Certainly isn't for the kid. He's dead. How can it be care if your patient is purposely killed? It doesn't really make much sense, does it? No, it doesn't. But the Democrats are doubling down on this satanic expansion of their platform. They really are. You've got Cory Booker. Goodness sakes. What a mistake and an embarrassment this guy is. He said, quote, "Today the Supreme Court chose to abandon trans children in America," end quote. No, Corey, they're not abandoning trans children. They're actually trying to prevent trans children from being abandoned by those of their same and true gender. The suicide rate is high. Is it because they're denied care? No, it's because they are screwed up. A lot of trannies, I think there's a demon possession in some of them. Look at all the trannies that are getting a hold of weapons and killing, starting for the school in Nashville, that tranny killer. There's a lot of them. They're screwed up. They need deliverance, not gender-affirming care. Oh, it sounds so nice. We're just going to have you feel warm and comforted and safe by changing your anatomy, even though we can't change your DNA. But let's not talk about not being able to change your DNA. I mean, I forgot who the congressman was, congresswoman. Nancy Mace. Okay, it finally came to me. Who was approached by this tranny? I think we mentioned this a couple of months ago. And he comes up to her, he, faking it to be a girl, woman, is not either. But he goes, "I just want to know, blah, blah, blah. I want to just ask you a couple of questions about this and this and this and this." And then she calls him out. And then he goes, "Why dare you to talk to me like that?" The DNA male voice came out of his larynx, and it came out as, it was all cojones at that point. Right. My goodness. So let's move over to an even lighter, lightweight snowflake on the Democrat side. Elizabeth Warren, Democrat from Massachusetts, claimed that, quote, "Trans kids suffer when they don't get medically necessary care," end quote. Sorry, Pocahontas, you've never been right on anything, so why should you be right on this? No. The care they need is a different kind of a care. You want to give them child abuse. I mean, that's basically what it is. When they don't get medically necessary care, they suffer. No, I'm sorry. They suffer when they do get medical treatments. They don't suffer for not getting medically necessary care. They suffer for getting it. Well, let's move along here to Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. He said all the blame here is on Republicans, claiming that their supposed cruel crusade against, quoting here, "the cruel crusade against trans kids is an all-out attempt to divert attention from ripping health care away from millions of Americans." What does that have anything to do with gender mutilation? Ripping health care away from... That's the real goal here. They're going to rip away your health care, but they're going to dress it up as not having tranny care. Tranny care as a percentage of total alleged, you know, using the word loosely, medical care, end quote, comprises what? One gazillionth of a percent of the total money spent on medical care? Chuck E. Cheese, you just lie through every orifice of your body. And I'm not excluding any orifice. No. You can't figure out why you lost in November. That's just a cruel crusade against trans kids. Chuck E. Cheese, let me tell you this. The bill that you oppose dealing with some changes in Medicaid, is a bill that's just been recently put out there. I mean, within the last month by the Republican House, the big, beautiful bill. I don't know how anything can be big and beautiful, but that's another story. That's only in the last month. Chuck E. Cheese, when did these advertisements come out showing the 6 foot, whatever, six guy with the girls on the basketball team? When did the discussion and all the talk and the pushback for against this stuff and the push for righteousness, when did this occur, Chuck E. Cheese? 6 to 8 to 10 months ago, way before any talk about Medicare or Medicaid adjustments. Yet you're just claiming that they're conjoined, that the issue of this cruel crusade against trans kids, the attempt to divert attention from ripping health care away from millions of Americans. He's talking like that this lawsuit that produced this result in Tennessee is something that came along right about last month when the health care bill or health care portions of the bill were passed by the House. Or attempted to be passed by the House. Do you know when this law, this is how they came to steal, kill, and destroy. Now we're on the lying part. Satan is a liar. He's the father of liars. And apparently he has, as a daughter, he has Elizabeth Warren. And as sons, he has Chuck E. Cheese, Schumer, and Cory Booker. A couple of sons and a daughter here. He's the father of lies. Fathers have children. Who are the children? Well, we got Corey, we got Elizabeth, and we got Chuck E. Cheese here. Lying. What they do so frequently with such ease that they don't even realize they're lying. So, the lawsuit that was passed in Tennessee's favor was 2 years ago. 2 years before there was ever any attempt to deal with any adjustments to Medicaid and Medicare. Represent Jan Schakowsky. She says, the fight isn't over. No, it's not over. We're going to keep fighting for kids to be their biological sex. Let them grow out of it and so forth. There are three significant points here. I got to fit this in really fast. Number one, it's fabulous that this law was upheld. Number two, this seems to indicate that the similar laws, which were passed in 19 other states, should be upheld. So I'm looking at 20 states that there's going to be no tranny care, loosely so-called. And point number three, that if any of the legislation in the other 19 states fails for whatever reason, because it's not identical to Tennessee, if for some reason it fails, the importance of this victory at the Supreme Court level, I can't overstate, because any of those other 19 states have to do is amend their legislation and copy Tennessee's, mirror Tennessee's. It's already been upheld by the Supreme Court. You couldn't have one law upheld by the Supreme Court in Tennessee and have an identical, verbatim, word for word law in South Dakota be defeated by the Supreme Court, turned down, ruled against, other than switching out South Dakota for Tennessee for South Dakota. You take Tennessee out, put in South Dakota, or any of the other 19 states. This is a home run, the size of which nobody paying political baseball seems to understand the importance of this victory. And last, just a little bit of irony. It was in the state of Tennessee, the Scopes trial in 1933, that the Supreme Court ruled that you can't just teach creation. You have to allow evolution, that it's bigotry to only support and teach one form of origin of the species. The Supreme Court got it wrong almost 100 years ago in Tennessee. And this week, the Supreme Court got it right. Way to go, you guys. God bless you. It's Robin Walter encouraging you to sit tall in the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.